Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Social Snippet Show, brought to you by Green Umbrella Marketing.
It's the Green Umbrella Marketing Social Snippet Show with the GU crew.
Hey, welcome to Live Lunch. I'm really, really hoping you enjoy this episode. We live streamed it during Mental Health Awareness Week, and we really wanted to touch on the subject of mental health during the episode. So we got the wonderful Cheryl Peel to join us. Cheryl is from the Conscious Change Collective. And as I'm sure you'll find over the next kind of 30, 45 minutes, she had some really, really valuable stuff to share with us. It was a fantastic session. So, go ahead and enjoy.
Hashtag loose mark to the post the other day.
Live. We're live.
So apologies for the delay in going live. It's now 12:06. We've literally spent the last 6 minutes like restarting the live stream from Zoom because it just wouldn't bloody work. This is the problem when Facebook kind of released lots and lots of changes all at once, because everything just kind of gets stuck in the system and they'll release one thing and it makes another thing break. And yeah, and live streaming, if you're doing it from the desktop recently, has been seriously problematic because they basically updated the interface, but then you also, so they updated the interface and that was fine and sorted on desktop. And then they did something else, and then it would only work if you updated Google. So if you use Chrome, you had to update. But you know what happens when you update Google? Okay, it's the same thing that happens when you log out of Google. The world stops. Nothing works for about 36 minutes when you just go into panic mode. So, but yeah, it seems like there's other problems. And since then, Facebook has rolled out all sorts of stuff that we planned to touch on. I use the word plan quite loosely there. But yeah, Jane, you wanted to talk about one of the Facebook updates this week, didn't you?
I did, yeah. This morning we got the option to use Facebook Rooms. I've seen that's rolling out everywhere at the minute, but it came into one of our groups. So we had a little try. There's a couple of glitches when we first started it. Like, it doesn't appear to work on Safari. It only seems to work on Chrome. So Mark had to join on his phone. Made us log in and out of Messenger, weirdly. But other than that, it wasn't too dissimilar from Zoom. We could screen share on it, couldn't we? Yeah, I don't know how you send notifications for when you set up one, because I just put a post in our group that said we've made a room. Whether you can send out notifications to people, I don't know yet. We haven't tried that. One of the things that was quite fun, though, is that Mark had a million filters he could put over himself on his phone. And it's good.
We have a screenshot of Mark with like nice princess filters and
crowns. And...
Space Baby was the best one.
Space Baby, yeah. Very cool. That was quite entertaining, actually, this morning, playing with those. But we need to think about sort of practically how that's going to work going forward. So I think we've got a bit of testing to do on that one, which is cool. And then Pam, as the kind of like e-commerce specialist, I guess, through the team, I do anything I can do to avoid shopping online. So anything related to the whole kind of online shopping world, I tune out of, whereas Pam and Emily are like really into that. But Pam, you've been really excited about another change Facebook has. Well, not a change really, is it?
So it's not a change, no. It's obviously an addition, isn't it, to the Facebook shop section. I don't exactly know what it looks like yet because I haven't delved into that. But yeah, they've got Facebook shops, which I'm understanding is now like a proper like e-commerce platform that they will, it's already launched in the US. So I assume it's coming to UK. Apparently they've launched it early in the US anyway, obviously because of lockdown. So yeah, that'd be amazing for small businesses that don't have a website already. But yeah, I'm going to be testing that out when it comes here for me.
Exciting stuff. Yeah. Cool. So you people that have tuned into this over the last few weeks have probably noticed that there's someone new on the screen today. So when I say people that tune in every week, I'm thinking about one person. So, you know, hi, Paul Green. Thanks for being our number one fan. But yeah, let's say hi to the wonderful Cheryl Peel, who we were just laughing at because every not laughing at Cheryl, I said that. Say everything wrong.
You can laugh at me, it's okay.
I would say every time I go to like type her name or say her name, I immediately go Cheryl Cole, and it's not Cheryl Cole, it's Cheryl Peel. So so yeah, Cheryl, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, thanks for that, Christina. I'm Cheryl. You can tell by the accent that I'm not from here. I am an Aussie. I am an executive coach, and I am excited to have a chat to you about mental health awareness. A little bit about me, though, because you might be wondering, why is this woman in a TARDIS, you know, stopping here to have a chat with you over this lunch break? And I'll just tell you a little bit about my journey over the last year. So prior to that, I've been a project manager, I've been a change manager, I've owned businesses, I've worked in the largest organisations in Australian government to deliver major projects. And that's been really exciting. But I decided that I wanted to do things for myself. And so I started studying and coming over to the UK on a monthly basis to study business. And everyone asks me, but can't you find that in Australia? And my response is, do you think I would put myself through jet lag and 25 hours on a plane if I could get up down there what I can get here? But anyway, so what happened to me is in the last year, I've lost, well, 18 months for this, I've lost over 70 pounds in 7 dress sizes. That was one journey. But at the end of September last year, I was diagnosed with 2 different kinds of breast cancer on a Friday afternoon. I'm a change coach. I took it well. I took it so well. The nurse said to me, will you coach our people on this? Will you do a podcast? I went, yeah, let me think about that. But probably yes. I went home. I told my younger brother who had a bilateral lung transplant the year before, so he understood what being unwell was. And I said to him, I can't get in to see a specialist in the next week, so I'm still going to take that flight to the UK for a week and go and do the learnings. So I did. He drove me to the airport on the Saturday. I jumped on the plane Sunday morning. I arrive at Sparrows Farm, as most Australian flights do, drive down to Peterborough, which is clearly the centre of the universe. And
Daventry.
All right, I have to go there then. I have to go to the centre of the universe. And I went and I got on stage and I told people my story and I shared that, and I went back to where I was staying and I found out that night that my younger brother was missing. And so I spent, that was Sunday night into Monday early, late afternoon at 4:45. I missed a phone call on my UK mobile because I thought I care about my Australian mobile because my brother's missing. And so I missed a call on that mobile and it was a blocked ID and I couldn't call it black. And then I got a call 15 minutes later on my Aussie mobile, and it's these people that said, we're the Metropolitan Police and we want to talk to you about a serious matter. Can you confirm your address? So I panicked. Long story short, it was a scam phone call, and it happened after a legitimate phone call, which was very scary. I had friends drive down that night through storms for 3 hours from Burnley to Peterborough. And I'm glad they did, because at 5:15 on Tuesday morning, I got the advice that my brother had died early Sunday morning. And what had happened was the ambulance people had come, couldn't resuscitate him, and took him out of the house and left nothing there. So when people went to check the house, the keys, the car, the wallet, the phone were all there and he wasn't, and we couldn't find him. So that meant that within 72 hours, I'd been diagnosed with 2 different kinds of breast cancer, flown overseas and lost my brother, and so I wasn't even there. So I flew back and I arranged his funeral and to see surgeons and to go on my own cancer journey through this. And I had my surgery in November and we had the Australian bushfires. So I'm recovering through the Australian bushfires. So change is something that I am intimately familiar with at the moment and the challenges around it. Whilst I was doing all of that, I was also working remotely as a manager for my teams who were working. So when it comes to talking about mindset and mindset in the personal space and mindset in the team space and professionally, I am really happy to spend time talking to you about why mental health is so important, why your own mental health is so important, and why it's the basis of everything you do going forward in your day and how you create your world and your future. So that's me. And I'm here in Peterborough with my dog. He may jump on me later. You won't miss him when he does.
I did warn the guys earlier that at some point your dog Flynn will actually just leap across the screen and take you out. So they're prepared for that bit.
Good.
This week is Mental Health Awareness Week. And at the beginning of the week, we had a conversation about, should we do something around this? Should we put something out there? And I'm very much someone that thinks that, you know, that all these like national days and awareness weeks and everything else, they're really good content fodder, but you should only engage with them if there is an authenticity to it. So you go, you know, it's kind of like, you know, one of the things we've never done is like Pride Week, suddenly put a rainbow on our avatar and stuff like that. Because actually it's not that we're, you know, homophobic or anything like that. It's just that there's nothing extra that we can do to really add to the message. It's not something that we just want to jump on the bandwagon with for the purpose of jumping on the bandwagon. But the reality is right now, everyone is in this kind of, they're in the bit that almost comes after the change. And I think that's probably a more dangerous sort of part. When change hits, so like the first couple of weeks of lockdown and everyone's trying to sort of shift the way that they're working and that sort of stuff and dynamics change, I think we all kind of, there's this an adrenaline rush as we all deal with that and figure out, you know, I was thinking like, you know, what do I need to change in terms of making sure we function as a team? What do I need to change to make sure that I maintain my levels of productivity and wellness as an individual as well? But it's probably in the last week that it's been tougher. And I think there is that, you know, when the adrenaline runs out, that's when it kind of there's a bit of a shift. And I was quite aware of that. So I'd asked you, and you kindly agreed to do a guest blog for us a few weeks ago. And in that blog, it was really interesting. One of the sort of subheadings within that was support, don't smother. And Amanda's probably got some insights based on conversations that she and I have had, because I think I'm known for not being the most cuddly person in our team. Okay, anyone that laughs gets sacked.
I can. Bye, Jane. We're all gone.
But yeah, every now and then I think, you know, crap, I haven't checked in with them. What if I'm missing all this stuff? And I'm like, send them all, everyone messages and group messages and that kind of thing. And I think there's a real balance between that supporting and not smothering, but also looking at yourself as well. Because I'm quite self-critical and I don't. And like this week, Amanda's told me off and Jane's told me off. And last week, Jenny, who's another person in our team, told me off, because I kind of think about these guys, but I don't necessarily think about myself in the same way.
Yeah.
So, it's quite interesting.
I would just, before Cheryl, you dive in, I would counter and say what I said to Christina was, it's not that you lack empathy at all. It's just your approach is different, but she's emotionally intelligent enough to understand that people approach things differently. So whilst, you know, you're almost kind of got that entrepreneurial DNA inside you that makes you run at a million miles an hour. And whereas some people, I know that I'm a little bit, I'm more sensitive and I know that sometimes I take a while to process things and I get really tired and stuff like that, but you don't expect, you know, you're not expecting all of us to be working 24/7 because we all have different requirements. So yeah, so you have that self-awareness and emotional intelligence to recognize it.
Yeah. So we've got a new hashtag as well.
What's that?
Cuddly Christina.
I don't think that one's going to stick. I think,
Paul, keep it going, mate. Keep it going.
That is an amazing level of awareness, and I love that you have an environment where you can have that discussion. And it is one of the things that I'm going to actually touch on today. Has anyone in the team done NLP? If you do, nod your head. If you don't, or if you have, you can, you know, switch off for the next 5 to 10 minutes. But if you haven't, I'd love to talk to you about one of the models that really reflects what we're talking about here, that people experience things differently. But before we even go to that, I'd just like to spend 30 seconds, because it's way too depressing to be spending too much time on, but 30 seconds on just talking about a couple of the statistics I got from the World Health Organization. And that is that statistics believe, or statisticians believe, that 264 million people around the world suffer from depression. And in fact, depression and anxiety are estimated to cost productivity globally $1 trillion annually. So this is not a small thing. It's just something that isn't often addressed, shall I say, adequately in the workplace. And it is awesome when people are brave enough to show up and talk about it, because when you do, you see productivity rise and people engage. Would we say that's fair?
100%.
I'm seeing nods. Yeah. I'm even seeing nods from Mark. This is awesome. I'm going to take that as a win.
The thing is, I think it's not even like that label of depression. Even with all the awareness that's around and everything else, people don't tend to use that word.
No.
You know, and actually there's times where, you know, Mark's workload at the last couple of weeks, Mark's workload is crazy. And Amanda and I have been trying to sort of step in to help take a bit of pressure off by taking over some of the comms with clients, which in some ways, I think in some situations have probably caused Mark more problems rather than less, or more frustrations rather than less. But you know, it's at least we've tried, Mark, come on. But it's that kind of and people use the word overwhelm quite a lot as well, but I think sometimes it's just a, you know, some days you wake up and you're just not right, you're just not okay. And it's not even actually you're depressed, because I think we've all got this kind of definition of depression. And it's not overwhelm, because again, there's a definition, a sort of a subconscious definition there, but I think some days you're just not okay.
And that's true. I think for me, one of the most important things, if I can get any messages across today, is that we are all on a journey, and you take each day and each moment of each day as it comes, and you will be doing your best every day, but your best is going to be different every day, and that's okay. It is okay to be not okay for a while. All right. As long as we don't wallow in that stuff, we experience it and have it and acknowledge it and validate it. It's real. You are absolutely allowed to experience your emotions in your journey. But then you say, I've done that. And you pick yourself up, you readjust your crown, you put your shoulders back, and you keep going forward. Because, and that's kings and queens, guys, we all do that. It is about being aware that the one of the challenges about positive thinking, and believe me, for the most part, I like the idea of positive thinking, but we can't live in that state. It is unrealistic to live in that state all the time, because happiness and joy are reward emotions, which is totally not what I was going to talk about, but let's go there. Happiness and joy are reward emotions. Like when you walk out of a movie and you've had it was a great movie, you had a great time, you're feeling really high, you're chatting with your friend, your partner, you know, the dog that you snuck in your handbag, don't care. And you're loving it. And you think, wow, this is good. And you're feeling so great and so pumped. But that emotion, that chemical rush, because that's exactly what it is, the chemical rush only lasts for about 90 seconds. Anything else that you experience after that is your choice to experience because you're looping. So there, and that is in the same chemical outcome for when you are feeling afraid or scared. It's still a chemical response. And there is a book, and I'm happy to find the reference and put it in a link below, about she was a brain surgeon. She was a brain specialist. She had a stroke. And she was there analysing her own experience of this. And she based her studies on that as she recovered. And that is important to understand, in the same way that it's important to understand, as you were talking about, Christina, that there is a change curve and a grief curve. The grief curve, which goes like that, oh, and my finger stayed here in the TARDIS. Sometimes it vanishes. I could have drawn it, but I don't need to. The grief curve was developed by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and it is about how we experience grief and change. And that is, we go through, you know, shock and denial and that adrenaline rush that you were talking about, Christina, and then you start getting angry and resentful, and you go right down to the bottom where you kind of lose a bit of hope, and you sit there and you think, it can't get any worse. You know, what else is there? And, you know, the world, and woe is me, and we all do it. It is fine. It is just part of the process. But it's how long we choose to stay there. Because once we get sick of ourselves being there, then we go back up the curve and we make those conscious choices to get ourselves together to choose the future that we want, whether that is personally or professionally. And I can easily confess that there are mornings where I go through that entire curve before I get out of bed. It's like, oh no, I don't want to, I can't. And then it's like, ah. But why do I really have to? And oh, and then I get myself, no, pull yourself together, get up. You really actually should do that exercise, and you do need to take the dog out. So you know, pull it together and get out.
We actually, like my daughter and I was looking at that exact curve last night. That's really weird that you mentioned that today. Yeah, because there's some things that have got to change quite dramatically in my youngest daughter's life. And we were kind of going, she was having a bit of sort of hysteria last night, what we thought, but it was a big giggle, to be honest. And my eldest daughter said, you're going through the grief cycle. So we were like googling it, going, what are the emotions along with that, and
yeah.
And having a good look at that as well. But yeah, it's just really weird that you spoke about that, because we were actually like assessing that entire cycle last night, which is really, but yeah, and then explaining how that has happened in sort of lockdown as well. So it's quite, yeah.
It's awesome, isn't it, when you think of it in those terms. I was talking with a colleague when it first started in the first few weeks, and we were actually mapping it and mapping how the government was dealing with their predictions of the change curves, like how their messaging changed slightly at different points. And from a marketing perspective, that's really worth noting when you and you might want to do that at some point, Christina, have a look at the change curve and then go back and see that's where they did that. It's one of the standards these days, because it's just proven right all the time. And it is something that if you're aware of, it's not that you won't experience it. You will definitely experience it, but you are more likely to get yourself out of that experience and move yourself through it faster because you're aware of it, because you then make conscious choice. You're not in this, why am I feeling like this? You're going, I'm feeling like this. I actually know why I'm feeling like this. I'm going to feel it for a while, and then I'm just going to get rid of it and keep moving on to the best of your ability. And
sorry, Cheryl, I think that's the end to, you know, from a marketing perspective, I was, we're members of an organisation called TEAM, the Employment Agencies Movement, and I was presenting to a group earlier this week, or two groups actually earlier this week. And at the beginning of my presentation, I said, you know, there are recruitment agencies within this network that I'm working with, that when all this has happened, they've kind of got into panic mode, and it's all been, you know, it's been a really tough time, and that they've lost business, and they've kind of, and I'm going to use the word paralyzed, okay, so they're in this paralysis, And actually, they've just stopped it. They've stopped marketing. Okay. Now, the ones that haven't done that, the ones that have felt the panic and then gone, what do I need to do about this? What's the next thing that needs to happen? And they've followed that through and they've adjusted their marketing, but continued it, whether it's on the same level or a slightly reduced level. They are the ones that are already starting to recover. They are the ones that are sending us messages or giving us calls saying, oh, do you know what? I've got vacancies and these vacancies have come on and I've got an offer and I've got a placement and all this stuff. So, and actually when I look at our observation of their journeys, you know, that they've kind of hit that bottom of that cycle, but instead of like staying there, they've taken that choice and they've gone, right, what can we do? And it's almost like that is the trigger for getting out of it. And those triggers can be massive. You know, it could be a whole marketing campaign, or it can be something as simple as, you know, getting dressed, putting your makeup on, Mark. You know, it's
this morning.
Yeah.
I missed the tiara. You
know, one of the reasons we started doing this was because actually, over the first week or so of us working at home, we were having these regular calls as a team. And I could, not even these guys, just, you know, I'm quite selfish. We all know this. And I was thinking, actually, I wasn't even trying that hard for these calls anymore. But actually, you know, when you've got an important meeting to go to, you make sure your hair's right and you're presented well. And, you know, like it's like superhero pose, isn't it? You know, I'm going to smash this. Well, actually, this is no different. You know, it's that same kind of thing. And it's really funny. It's like every Thursday now when I'm catching up with the guys before we do this, or when everyone joins the call, it's like really noticeable. And it's like, oh, Emily, not only is Emily wearing makeup, she's also washed her hair, you know. It's,
how did you know?
I promise.
It's true, though.
I honestly think it's because, certainly for me, and I can't speak for everyone, and I think it's quite a personal thing, so I wouldn't want to speak for everyone, but doing this at 12 o'clock on a Thursday during lockdown has been almost like a bit of a reset. It's like a re-energization. And I honestly think it was last week. Like I came downstairs in the morning. My husband sort of said, oh, what are you so dressed up for? And I was thinking, this is the stuff I always wear to work. You know, it's just that I'm, you know, just not slobbing it today. but it's an interesting thing. Those triggers can be really, really small, really small.
They can. And it is so vital to recognize them when they do occur. That's why, and I'm just going to step aside for a moment. That's why the first of my 7 C's of conscious change, which is my change model that I developed, is choose. Because as we said at the top of this, mindset, how we think, what we choose to do, that is the basis of how we move forward. Because when you hit the bottom of that curve, and you've observed it now with a number of your clients and a number of organizations that you know, and people that you know, your daughter, yourself, whatever it is, because every time we go through a change, we go through this curve. It's just that sometimes it's more intense than others, and sometimes it's done quickly. But what gets you out of that bottom, out of that pit, the curve, is when you decide, when you consciously choose to take control of your change process. You can make that choice early on, and that means you will go through that slide down faster. You'll still do it. You'll just do it faster, and you'll move through it faster with knowledge and consciousness, because you're going, I know that I've got to get through this. And it is a valid experience to have, and it's a valid part of my journey. I just won't stay here. But when you get to that bottom of the curve, you either choose consciously to own it and move forward, to take control to the extent that you can, because anyone thinks that they have total control is delusional.
Are you calling me name, Cheryl?
I love you, Christina. I do it too. Here am I talking about taking control. So I have no idea what your personality would be like. at all. But don't think you're a sister from another mother for any reason. When you consciously choose to take that control back, that's when change really happens. That's when you start to live your life at cause rather than effect, because you're saying, this is where I am now, but this is where I intend to be. This is how I intend to grow. This is what I intend to do, because you plan. And the plan can be as simple, as you said, as today I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to say something, it's going to be recorded, but I'm going to say it anyway. Tony Robbins, as amazing as he is not the only answer, okay? In the same way that Grant Cardone's 10Xing everything is not the only answer. And in Mental Health Awareness Week, it is so much more important than people acknowledge that they can do massive change, and that might work for some people, but there are people where just getting out of bed in the morning is a win. Just deciding I can try and go out that door today is a win. And they need to be celebrated as well, because everybody's journey is different. Your success may not seem huge to somebody else, but it's your success. It is your brave choice. So for me, a small brave step every day, moment to moment, is what's going to get you there in the end. It is fine to say massive change, 10x everything. And, you know, if you are in that headspace and you are in that capability, awesome. Knock yourself out. But for people who are trying to get out of bed to just get a little further ahead in their day because they are feeling down or less than 100% or they're overwhelmed, to just make a choice to say, hey, I value me and I can do this, that is the win. And then the next small brave step, and then the next small brave step. And it's that choice that we make that's the bravery that people don't see. It's the brave choice that the mother makes when their child is sick. It's the brave choice that the child makes when their elderly parent is sick. Whatever it, we all know what I'm talking about. It's those choices that people don't see that make us who we are and require mental strength.
It's really, you know, those little choices, they kind of just feel like normal every day, and so you don't recognise them. You know, it's like without naming names, like, you know, looking at this screen and the faces that are on here, for each of these people, just for our general chit-chat conversations, I could give you a massive list of those things that each of these people have done in the last 2 weeks that they probably don't see as being that self-care or that kind of, you know, probably don't even register for themselves. And, you know, I probably over-egg it and say, you know, I'm really lucky to have these guys around me, but it's not just me that says it. It's our clients say it as well, because they're on the receiving end of it, you know, and they kind of, there's the one client in particular that I was on a call with yesterday, and he was like, every single person in your team, you're all exactly the same. You've all got these values, you're constantly doing these things. And, you know, I go, wow, that's amazing. But it's the stuff we take for granted, those wins every single day that are all amounting to, and as much as it's all quite individual, all of those successes amount to the success of the brand and the success of the business itself.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And it's that resonance, because it's the way that you all show up every day for each other and for yourselves that make you the awesome team that you are. And I would encourage you to just spend a little time. I don't know if you do gratitudes as a practice. I really would encourage you to do it once a day, either in the morning or the night. Find 3 or 5 things to be grateful for. And they can be small things. It can be that your child gave you flowers from the garden. It doesn't matter the size. It matters that you stop and reflect on it. And really, I would encourage you to have at least one of those things be something that you did, a choice that you made to honour yourself and your journey and the fact that you're showing up for yourself and for everybody around you. I do have 5 personal wellness top tips gotten from Mind. If you want me to go through those at some point, because I really think that valuing yourself is one of the best ways to take care of yourself. And that kindness and that gratitude that you show yourself reflects out, because gratitude is so much different from being selfish and self-absorbed. Can we all agree with that? We know the difference between valuing yourself and not feeling selfish about it. It's really important to know that it's a very different thing, because when you are grateful for and value yourself, then you can let it flow out into everybody else. So if you want me to go through these 5, I'm happy to. I'm only going to be super short with them. I'm not asking if you have pens, because it's going to be recorded. You can take notes later.
Do you know what, Cheryl? I would love you to, but I'm just conscious of time. Mm-hmm. What I would absolutely love is if you want to pop them over for me and we can add them in the comments, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Or something like that would be absolutely awesome. But yeah, I can see I've got my phone here, and our resident stalker has, I did have my phone, then I dropped it. But our resident stalker has said, you should have guests like Cheryl Peel on more often. The quality of This Loose Women has gone up tenfold. That's from Paul.
I didn't pay him to say that. Thank you, Paul.
you notice how quiet we've all been as well.
I know.
You know, so we're all basically, I think everything you're saying, Cheryl, is really resonating. And we're all just kind of listening to your story and how it, you know, how it sort of lands with us. It's really, really sort of poignant stuff.
I kind of thought, well, we'll get Cheryl on to talk because it'll be really valuable for our audience. But I feel like we've almost had a mini coaching session as a team. Does everyone else feel like that? I actually feel quite, I was going to say buzzed. I don't feel buzzed. I feel quite serene.
I feel refreshed, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like, yes, that's why I was feeling that way. Now I understand.
I feel kind of calmer.
Yeah.
As in with an L, not, karma.
What about you, Mark, as the resident guy, to put you under pressure and make you ask difficult questions?
Yeah.
Mark's not very good at talking about his emotions.
The serious point though, Mark, just to pick on you, it's okay, this might be a generalization, Cheryl, you'll probably have more stats or knowledge on this, but I think women are a bit more, we're okay, even like you, Christina, when you go, I'm not cuddly and I'm not touchy-feely, but you'll still say the stuff, you know, you'll still check in with us. And you'll be...
I get Cheryl to proofread it first before I say it.
But, you know, even if you were having a bad day, I think the other week you worked all the hours, you were like, my brain's fuzzy, I just need... I'm kind of not okay, I need a bit of a chat.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But it's not really the same for guys.
I'll just probably shut off.
Yeah.
Mark definitely shuts off.
I get really worried when I know Mark's busy and then I don't hear from him. I get really concerned, like a sick feeling in my stomach, because I don't, you know, probably not before lockdown, because I just like, you know, physically I can see him, but he's there and I know he's okay. Whereas if I don't hear from him for 2 days, I'm thinking like, has he been to bed? Has he eaten? Is he just sat there designing and, you know, and I kind of, my mind goes into like overdrive thinking he's probably not okay. He's probably not right. He's got too much going on. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Which brings me back to that kind of like, you know, it's a, whether I show it or not, in my head, it's like this smothering thing happens and I want to take it all away and fix it all. So
if I can make a suggestion then, if when that occurs, and Mark, please tell me if this works for you. If Christina just sends, are you okay? And you give her a score from say 1 to 7, you know, 4 being I'm good, 1 being send help, and 7 being I'm rocking it. That won't take a lot of time off your focus, you can just send her a number back. She's checked in, she gets reassured, so she doesn't loop and you can keep going on with what you're doing. Does that sound fair?
Yeah. I'll have to make sure I get the numbers right so I don't panic.
Christina.
I'm one.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's such a simple thing, isn't it? Why have we not thought that?
Because you're so busy being brilliant in what it is that you do, and you care so much about making sure that all of your team is okay. But everybody has a different requirement. And one of the projects, one of the spaces I would project manage in is IT. And this is why I love people who are different and off on the curve and whatnot, because these are kind of people who, perhaps like you, Mark, are happy just to sit there and focus with headphones on or whatever, just doing their stuff and like, do not be disturbing them. And they don't, they may not eat, not because they don't care to eat, because they're loving what they're doing. They're so into it. Whether it's...
Well, I'll always eat.
It's that just, we all operate differently. Yeah. And I won't stay long on it. Another day I can talk to you about the map is not the territory. But if that is simply a way that you can check in because you're not wanting to talk, but Christina still knows that you're okay and she's reassured so she can go on with everything else that she's got to do, because she always has one or two things on the go. it just relieves everybody's anxiety then, which is Mental Health Awareness Week.
Brilliant. Do you know what? I think let's wrap it up there. Cheryl, thank you so much. This has been such a fantastic session, honestly. Mm-hmm. And it's, like I say, I've got so much value out of it. We all know it's about me. But, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, I hope as many people as possible watch this, because it's just absolutely amazing what you've shared. You know, I met you, about 3 months ago now, I think. And you know, I know you've introduced yourself and you told your story straight away, but there's a lot of people out there that kind of lead with a story, and actually, you know, you only told me your story a few weeks ago. I didn't know it up until that point. You're not one of those people that kind of jump on a stage and go, this is me and therefore I'm really inspirational for these reasons. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, you're really very much about, this is what I'm doing today and this is what I'm doing in the future. And that's like the plane, if you like, that I met you on. And we obviously just connected on some weird subliminal level where we even share the same really wicked in the gutter sense of humour as well. So yeah. That's always interesting. But it's I think you really are a product of the people you surround yourself with. I feel myself very lucky to have met you and be able to count you as one of those people, and for you to join us and share some of that has been amazing. So big, big thank you for that. Amanda, you've got all the links and everything for Cheryl, haven't you? So if you can pop those in the comments.
I've shared a couple already and I will add some more in as well. So yes, so people can go and like your page, Cheryl. They can read the blog that you wrote for us, which again, I think really resonated, as you said, the whole headlines in there, smother, support, not smother. But yeah, I'll pop your LinkedIn and Instagram in there as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your energy with me today. I really enjoyed it. It's been so much fun. You are such a vibrant team of people, and the care is there on every different level, and everybody brings their own things to it, and it's just lovely to be in and experience. Thank you.
You're awesome too. Cool. Okay, so have any of you guys got anything to finish up with, anything we were going to talk about we haven't, or anything like that, or are we just gonna say goodbye and call it a day for another week?
I think it's been a good sesh. End it on a high.
Excellent. Oh, we've got a new hashtag. Hashtag bring back Cheryl. Who is this? cool. So thank everyone on the live stream, thank you for tuning in. If you're watching this later, thank you. And like I said, the link's there so you can connect with Cheryl and stuff. But we'll see you next Thursday at 12 noon for our next live lunch. I'll see you all later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.